America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, a little touch there from Callis. You know where you can watch the game tonight. Oh, it's just a short little stinger there. It's on Channel 2, and Bob Pompeiani will be on the play-by-play. And lo and behold, Bob Pompeiani joins us right now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Bob, pardon my ignorance here. First of all, thank you for coming on. And secondly, what year will this be in the TV booth for Steelers preseason games?
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I believe it's 23. We're doing these games. Before that, I was doing sideline stuff. But, yeah, 23 up there. And it's been a lot of fun. I know some of these games, some people perceive them as boring as they go along. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of big roster battles, and I think people have heard names, they've heard of stories, but they haven't seen some of the stuff in action. So I think it's always interesting to see how these guys do based on what you've heard.
Bob, a little inside baseball here. You were pacing the hallways earlier in the week. You have to describe the new NFL kickoff rule, and you were told you have to do it concisely in under 30 seconds. You got to do it right off the shoot here, right? So have you practiced this? Are you able to do it? And are you able to do it right now if we put a timer on you?
Okay, we actually have more, as it turned out, than that. And just so you know, in the very beginning of this broadcast, we're going to try to detail it graphically. And I think that's the best way you can do it because it's hard to explain. However, if you want to give it a shot in 30 seconds, I try to cram as much as I know into it.
All right. And in 3, 2, 1, go.
When you kick the ball off, it's from the same exact spot. However, the coverage team lines up at the other team's 40-yard line. The return team's players will line up at the 35. They're not allowed to move until that ball lands into the landing zone, which is the 20-yard line to the goal line. When it does hit a player or the ground, then those guys can engage. They're trying to eliminate all this gunner stuff where people are running at head-crazing speeds all the way down the field. So they will engage, and then it's like a regular play. So if you kick it out of the end zone, like let me just continue. If you kick it out of the end zone, you can do that and play the game, but the ball comes to the 30-yard line, not 25 this year. However, if the ball lands in the landing zone and the team that's returning does not touch it or rolls into the end zone, they're required to fall on it, down it, and then it only comes to the 20.
That's very good.
Really good.
Outstanding job. The editorializing probably unnecessary in the middle, Bob, with the gunners and
yeah,
all that.
I lost my track. I felt the pressure of the clock.
Pomp, how do, like, okay, 90 guys on the Steelers, 90 guys on the Texans. How do you prepare for that and to know the names and to know the schools, the colleges, where these guys come from? I mean, I watch you do it every single year, and you do a fantastic job. And I always wonder, like, that has to take a long time to prep for. It's not like calling a regular season game where you know the players, you know the names. Has to be pretty tough, 90 guys on one roster, 90 guys on the other.
And during therein lies the whole challenge of this. It's not regular season. You don't even – you know who's out there. You know the history of all these guys. Some of these guys, I refer to them as future bartenders of America.
That's
They're going to have another job.
That's not nice.
But – and there's nothing wrong with that. They're going to – but my point is they're trying to live a dream here. And anyone who gets to this level knows they're very good players, but how good do you have to be to crack a roster, especially when you know there are like only so many allocated spots on each individual component, whether that's wide receiver, running back, offensive line. So the whole thing is, especially with the other teams, I'm familiar with a lot of what the Steelers have done by seeing those guys. When you go into a game like this with Houston, and they got a ton of people that most people will never have heard of, and they're gonna play their starters, thankfully, so you're going to see them for like a quarter or more. And then you'll see a bunch of guys you've never heard of. And so it's my job to make sure people at least know who they are when they are called upon. And that's the other thing. You don't know who's going to be in a game at any time. And that's where it gets a little – later in games of regular season, it's all the same guys, the regulars that you know. So that's the biggest challenge of it all, that and trying to get in a lot of commercial spots and reads. And, you know, we've done that over the years.
No doubt about it. Bob Pompiani, you know the voice. He's joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. What exactly is, in your opinion, Bob, Justin Fields playing for? Is he playing for a legitimate chance to be the Steelers' starting quarterback? Is it about the future? Is it about when they could turn to Justin Fields if Russ Wilson should falter somewhere down the road during the season?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity, Adam, that they've had to see him in training camp, get a lot of snaps with the ones. And because of Russell Wilson's calf injury, that's opened the door for him. And this is another door that's open, and he's going to get a start in this game. Not that it would have lasted long for Russell Wilson. At some point, he's going to have to take some snaps. It's a whole new team. It's a bunch of young guys on their offensive line. But I think they have a pretty good knowledge of what Fields can do up close and personal. I think the challenge with them is trying to reduce mistakes. So for him, this is an opportunity to show Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin he could throw the ball down the field from the pocket. They know what he could do running the football. He doesn't need to show anybody that. But I think it's more of a challenge of accuracy, decision-making in the pocket, and not making mistakes. If he can do that, you know, then you're in a situation where you have more information probably on him than you thought you might get at this point. And that may or may not result in something they can try to do before the season starts, because if he doesn't sign, he becomes unrestricted free agent at the end of this season. So, therefore, if he somehow gets in there and plays extremely well, the price which the Steelers are paying, which is virtually nothing for two quarterbacks, will go up dramatically.
Pomp, who else are you excited to see play outside of Justin Fields? Maybe some rookies, maybe some guys that they signed in the offseason. Who else are you excited to see get an opportunity tonight?
Well, one of them is Mason McCormick. That's that guy they drafted out of South Dakota State. You know, he's been around that program for a long time. He got a COVID extra year, so he's at 6 years. He's older. He's going to make, I think, an impact on this offensive line as a reserve, and they're going to need people like that. So he's big. He moves fast from what I can tell for his size. I also want to see Corey Trice. He's been out, as you guys know, all last year. So, you know, he's got a lot of potential at 6'3". If you have him and Joey Porter opposite, you got, as Avatar, or Tom Alex referred to him as Avatar corners, just because of their size. But I think he is going to get the first opportunity, and he's had that surgery. It's tough to come back from it because you got to put it at full speed. He's not had that chance until tonight, so I'm going to be anxious to watch him. And also Beanie Bishop, West Virginia proud there, Adam
Let's
Crowley.
Go,
West
Bob.
Virginia proud. Yeah, 1 year only there, but he's made an impact. You know, everybody's talking about him. We'll see what he can do in a nickelback for the Steelers. He's one of those younger guys who's smaller in stature, but man, he's a mean guy on the field, and I think they want that.
Bob, do you think this Ayuk thing gets done? Have to squeeze that in here.
You know, it's been the story that's lasted for 5 months. I've never seen anything like it. It's been talked about since March when, you know, he made his feelings known. And, yeah, I think it will eventually. I'm not sure the outcome, though, you know. I know Andrew's worked very hard at this, and he has people who've told him, I think, some very correct stuff. You know, if San Francisco really wants what they want in return, the Steelers are not willing to do it. Does he stay there for one more year? They have a very good team. And if I were them, I'd keep him for one more year. And, you know, they talk about leverage. He doesn't have the leverage in that regard. It's all on San Francisco. They can make him play because he has to play if he wants to get the free agency, if that's the case. But if they don't agree to a deal with anybody, and there's still some other teams involved, I heard, so it very well could be that he's just going to end up having to play there one more year, and they control the cards with regard to his immediate future.
If I were San Francisco, I just wouldn't.
I don't know about you guys. I like the guy. I do. I think he's a very good receiver, and I think he would be an immediate upgrade here. But I'm just not keen on him becoming a $30 million a year player when they have a lot of other issues down the road And I know the cap's going up and all that stuff. And right now they're playing with a quarterback that does not have a big contract, which would make it easy for them to fit him in with $30 million. But in your minds, is he a $30 million a year receiver?
I don't think that they're going to. I don't think they're offering him that. I think they're personally, I think that there's a verbal deal done, and Ayuk has accepted what the Steelers are offering financially, and I think it's around 25. But he just wants to come here, and he wants to get out of San Francisco. Would you be okay with 25?
Like I said, he's a good player, and if that's the market for it, fine. When it gets to 30, because I heard that New England had gone as far as 32, I'm thinking, you're getting out of it. Yeah, that's too much. But I also know that, again, they're going to have to decide on quarterback money next year. I think both T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick will enter next year with 1 year left. They're going to want new deals. You have to worry about Joey Porter down the road. You have to worry about guys like Broderick Jones. If he's the real deal, left tackles cost a lot of money in this game today. So, you know, I don't know. It's such a puzzle, and Omar Khan does a good job trying to piece it all together. Yeah, he would be an upgrade and immediately make things a lot easier for George Pickens. I know that, and they need that kind of stuff. If they don't do it, and if they end up with what they have for now, then I think that Pat Freiermuth is the immediate benefactor of all of this.
No doubt about that, and I think that contract's going to get done pretty quickly here. Bob, appreciate the time. You're going to nail the whole kickoff thing. How many penalties on the kickoff units today, by the way? I think we might see a few. We saw a couple last night.
Yeah, you know, probably a few just because people are still uncertain about it. And the movement thing is the key. If you move your feet before that thing hits the ground or touches a player, they're going to call you for it. And, you know, then the kicking team has options what to do. So I hope there's not a lot of flags. Normally we get them and it slows everything down, but I think they may be a little lenient in this first few games with this stuff, just so people get, they may remind them, hey, don't do this again or you're going to be called.
Do you like the rule?
That's pretty radical. I have to see it. I mean, I've watched a lot of, it was in the United Football League, the XFL. I know what they're trying to do, but it seems kind of gimmicky to me. And until you see different kind of things happen in there, I don't think you'll see anything tonight. Danny Smith's not going to give you any indication they're going to try some trick plays. That may be the whole thing that happens here. There are going to be some interesting trick plays as the season begins. It may lead to excitement. And if it leads to excitement and reduces the amount of concussions, because the NFL is always worried about that, then it would be a kickoff that will remain after this year. But I don't know. I'm still undecided. Do you like it? Adam, I don't know.
I'm exactly in the same place as you.
Same place, yeah.
Yeah, I hate to have to read that much to understand anything. So,
can you imagine people who haven't seen it at a bar, a few beers, and they're sitting there watching this, and they won't understand at all what's going on, especially when they see it play out.
They will if they have the volume turned up on Channel 2, Bob.
Yes, they will.
Well, I hope so. Charlie and I and Missy Matthews and Rich and everybody else, we're all excited to do it, so. Hopefully, it'll be a good game, and you'll see a lot of good performances.
Thank you, Pomp. We really appreciate you coming on.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
break
Bob.
A leg. See you. Bob Pompiani, the GOAT. What a man. You don't like the Future Bartenders of America thing, huh?
No, he says that all the time.
He loves it. You really don't like it.
No.
I can tell by your face.
Future Radio Hosts of America.
That's right. Look
that's
at
basically,
this.
That's basically what he's saying.
He's saying Doran gets cut, he's got to go 10 bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Wipe down glasses. Yeah.
Security.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check IDs.
No.
Bouncer.
No.
The same thing.
No. No, you're getting good tips
down
if
in
you're
the
a
South
bartender.
Side. Checking IDs.
You would get promoted from that. You might start there because you could beat ass, but you would fly up the company ranks.
Mm. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Well, no, and then you land here is what it is. Future Radio Host of America.
Not in the NFL.
We're going to have the Kyle Allen show today. That's what we're going to get. A lot of Kyle Allen in this game. I see on ESPN right now, do the Steelers need Brandon Ayuk? That's the thing with Pomp. Like, is he worth $30 million a season? I don't look at him in that pantheon. Like, I don't think he's a top 10 guy. But so what? You've got money. You got enough to spend on him this year. You got $85 million in cap space next season. Now, some of that will get gobbled up by Freiermuth and maybe Cam Hayward, and eventually a quarterback. But teams all across the NFL find a way to pay two premium wide receivers and a quarterback.
Right.
Look at Philly. Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Waddle or Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
and AJ Brown, and then you got Waddle with the
Tyreek Hill and Tua.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
you know me. Yeah. So if you could pay a quarterback and two wide receivers, you could pay no quarterbacks in one.
I mean, Brandon Ayuk may not be a top 10 wide receiver in the league, but he'd be a top three player on the Steelers.
Bingo.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yes.
He'd be a top three player on the Steelers.
Yes.
And that would be worth the money.
That changes your ceiling. It just does. You got the two biggest play wide receivers in the NFL last year on a team that wants to run the ball. I mean, I know folks have said Arthur Smith doesn't like to use multiple wide receivers, right? Target share. Well, go back and look at what he had, first of all. He ain't had this. He ain't had two A.J. Browns. And I'm not saying that George Pickens is as good as A.J. Brown, but you get, for the sake of argument, what I mean by this. I'm sure he'd be salivating at the chance. Now, Bob does seem to think it's going to happen. And he did stand behind Pony. He says he knows Pony's got some good sources on this. Right now, latest we know on Brandon Ayuk is that Josina Anderson says it's a staring contest. Huh. And we kind of already knew that. A staring contest. Much more to talk about tonight's game, including those kickoff rules, silly as they may seem. We've got Charlie Batch at 9:35. Keep it here. It is 9:15. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
One of our coworkers just said they drank two bottles of wine last night. Yeah. And I was making sure they weren't on the camera, I don't think. Two bottles of wine. If I drank two bottles of wine, I'd be off. I'd have such a bad headache.
I can do that, but whenever I'm in the wine mode, like I have to build up my endurance for wine. Like I have to drink it like once a week, and then I can get up to doing that and feel okay the next day. But if I did that like tonight,
yeah,
tomorrow, I'd be finished.
Toast.
My head would be pounding.
Pounding. That's the worst headaches, I think. Maybe I don't drink good enough wine. That could be it, too.
That, yeah, but still.
Our guy walked up in here looking like a grape. just funneling two bottles of wine. Now, that doesn't even sound appealing to me. 6-8 beers, okay. Two bottles of wine. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. I'm about to read a good text here, I think, Doran. Brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Charlie Batch joining us, former Steelers quarterback, on the call with Pomp tonight in 11 minutes. So the latest report from Diana Russini is that the Steelers and the 49ers are in a staring contest. And a texter says, who would win a staring contest between Doran and Crowley? And I think we need to do that.
Okay.
I think we need to have a staring contest. I think Nicholas Harry Callis needs to be the referee. You can all watch on our incredibly popular, I've been told now, YouTube stream. You go live, watch these bright, smiling faces on the YouTube.com.
Are we like not trying to smile, or are we not trying to blink?
Can't blink.
Can't blink.
It's like Tomlin. You got to cut your eyelids off.
Okay.
Yeah.
But smile? You can smile?
Yeah, of course you can smile. You can giggle, right? Okay. It's not a lot. You don't have to walk in here to judge the contest, Callis.
He wants to.
He will turn the mic on. Did you set it up so that you can talk into this microphone as well?
Yeah, it's
he easier. He did it. Yeah. He go. Did it. Okay.
It's easier to see in here.
I thought the thought the ball might be dropped there. This tremendous staring contest on 93.7 The Fan is brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Beat the fall rush. Get 35% off Gutter Helmet. Visit gutterhelmet.com or call 888-5-HELMET. Do you want to represent Kyle Shanahan in this staring contest or Omar Khan?
John Lynch?
What did I say?
Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah. John Lynch.
Yeah, I'll be John Lynch.
Okay. So this is the deciding factor. Forget anything that Pony... I keep my eyes closed right now for preparation. Forget anything Pony's reported. Forget anything you're hearing from the Diana Russinis or anybody else in the world. If Doran wins this staring contest, Ayuk remains a 49er. If I win this staring contest, Ayuk is a Pittsburgh Steeler. A lot on the line here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nervous. I've never needed to blink more in my life now. Right? Now, just as you start thinking about it.
Right.
All right.
All right, you guys ready?
Okay.
I'm going to count down from three, and then we'll go. Three, two, one, go.
It's already terrible. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have had the eyes closed first. Now they're blurry.
Mm-hmm.
I already got the water in them.
E-blank.
This is terrible. Yep, that was the worst thing ever.
This is your idea, too.
I psyched myself up too much for it. It was like Pomp doing
so
the rules.
Quick. Like, I didn't even get the 6 seconds.
We
got to
start it again.
No, you lost. We're done.
I already lost, but I have to prove my mettle. Can we just try it again?
Well, no, I think you just jinxed all of Pittsburgh, too, because that means Ayuk's not coming.
Pony's the jinx.
Right.
Okay.
Not me.
All right, go ahead.
All right, one more time.
I'll count down from three. Here we go. Three, two, one, go.
It hurts already. This is ridiculous. I quit. I have too much coffee here. I've been reading all day. Like, for example, we want you back after the break. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. Like, I got to read all these things, and I'm looking at the text line the whole time, and my eyes are obviously...
You're just making excuses. Stop. You just lost.
My eyes are in a rough spot here.
You trying to squint, too? You're squinting.
I do have very tiny eyes, I've been told. Small eyes. We've got Charlie Batch coming up next. And I'm interested in Charlie's perspective on Justin Fields here, on what kind of things a quarterback would be looking for to show growth, to show development. Everybody knows this guy can run around.
Yes.
Everybody knows this guy's talented. So what is Charlie Batch looking for out of Justin Fields? We talked to him about that. Coming up next. We got to go to break. My eyes aren't working anymore.
So you can't talk? You know, your tongue's not working? Your mouth's not working?
I had notes.
Your ears don't work either? You can't hear us?
Yes.
So your ears don't work either? You can't hear us? Like, what are we?
Charlie Batch joins us next. He'll be on the call with Pomp tonight on Channel 2. Little Robbins Mikowski wandering the hallways.
He's a really nice guy.
A really nice guy. A tall guy.
He is tall.
Very tall. Robbins Mikowski.
Like, he and Mackey were the two guys where I was like, wow, you are a lot taller than I thought you were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie was doing stuff with Bally Sports in Texas, I believe.
Oh, really?
With the Rangers.
Oh, nice.
And Pirates will be out there fairly soon. They're going to Seattle after this. They'll play Texas. Catch a little Robbie and Smikowski screen time.
I'm jealous of everybody that's out there that's covering the Pirates in L.A. Dodgers. That's on my bucket list.
Oh, I thought it was because you wanted to watch Domingo Germán pitch out of the bullpen.
No.
You can watch that tonight, parts of it at least, or you can listen to it right here on 93.7 The Fan after the Steelers preseason opener, and Charlie Batch will be on the call of that preseason opener with Bob Pompiani, and Charlie joins us right now. We're very excited about that. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, fellas.
Excited to have you. Excited about the preseason kicking off, and excited about Justin Fields, Charlie. And through a quarterback's eyes, explain to us what you'll be looking to see from Justin Fields tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching him play, you know, obviously a little bit last year with the Bears, but this guy can play. And I think, you know, just watching him throughout training camp, he made the most of his opportunity for Russell Wilson being out. What I want to see as he steps into the huddle, I want to see, number one, getting in, you know, making sure he gets in and out of the huddle cleanly, making sure the shifts and emotions are there, not wasting unnecessary timeouts at the line of scrimmage, because this is the first time that now the play clock is, you know, that they have to use that. And I think this is something that I just want to see from there. And then, of course, just let his natural instincts take over. And I think the biggest question for me is, what is this offense going to look like? Because, quite frankly, it better be better than what we've seen in the last few years.
Well, Charlie, on the flip side of that, and it goes hand in hand, what do you want to see out of this receiving core tonight, and especially working with Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously George Pickens, he's, you know, he's coming into his own. And I think everything that you've seen in training camp, they believe he truly is a number one receiver. I think I want to see, you know, what Calvin Austin brings to the equation, because a lot of talk was with Roman Wilson trying to potentially battle him in that slot position. But with him being out, can Calvin Austin actually take advantage of what that looks like for him? So this is going to be an interesting group all around. And, of course, can they, you know, block out all of the chatter that they've heard over the last 72 hours as it relates to what may or may not happen in that receiver room.
Charlie, how hard is it to pick up a new offense? I'm sure it's different for everybody, but both Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, Kyle Allen, all three of them having to learn a new offense. What was it like for you, and how do you see Justin Fields picking it up?
Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, based off the timing of when you come into this offense, it's not like he just showed up a couple weeks ago and you're trying to get a crash course on learning this offense. This is something that happened back in April. And, of course, learning it all in May, practicing in June, and those type of things. Now it's just repetitions and hearing it over and over again, adding the nuances to the offense to see exactly, you know, how much you can expand the offense if you're able to pick it up. So I think this is a good opportunity there. But I think the terminology is all new, but I think when you look at Arthur Smith, he does have some of the similarities of what these guys have been through. It's just a matter of what he's calling it. So I don't think it's going to be a problem whatsoever for Justin Fields or anybody on this offense to pick it up.
Based on his injury and being a veteran, Charlie, do you think that Russell Wilson needs to play at all this preseason?
I think he does, only because this is a new group of guys that he's been around. But I think when you look at, it's not like he missed all of the OTAs and then now he's missing the training camp. He's practiced all the way through, and he essentially just missed, you know, probably a little over a week of 11-on-11. He was doing individual drills, so just watching him from where he was at the beginning of training camp to where he is now, he's on a trajectory of being able to run this offense. So I'm not overly concerned with Russell Wilson missing time right now.
Is there a point where you need to say, all right, now is time? Is it the second preseason game, third preseason game?
Well, I think ultimately it's just closer you get to the regular season. So this game here, of course, a lot of starters don't even really play. So even if he was healthy, would Mike Tomlin even put him out there right now for the week one, for this first preseason game? So, but I think the questions will start to come next week. You're bringing Buffalo in. You do have an extra practice week or practice day with them next week, because Buffalo actually will be at training camp prior to the game. And then, of course, the final audition there in Detroit. So I think those are the ones as we get closer. Can Russell Wilson go back to being what we hope he's going to be leading this offense? So I think that question really will be answered over the next couple weeks.
So say that there's a competition at center, which there kind of is. I mean, there's, you know, a rookie center in Zach Frazier, and then Herbig is probably starting tonight. Would you, as a quarterback, Charlie, want to get reps with both of them in a preseason game, or would that not matter? Like, would you want to see Justin Fields work with Herbig for a couple of series and then work with Zach Frazier for a couple of series, or does that not matter at all and you just play as it is?
No, it matters, because those are, you know, you may not get it in 11-on-11, but you're working with those guys in individual periods just in case something happens. So, you know, I don't think there's any concern as it relates to whether those two will be able to snap to whoever the quarterback is. Of course, we're assuming it's going to be Russell Wilson, just not tonight. But I think right now, up until this point, Herbig has taken all of the number one reps. So it looks like he has a pole position there, which is now just a matter of, can he continue to do that in this week one game and not have any questions lingering going into week two, where it's going to cause Mike Tomlin to say, hey, maybe we need to adjust what this offensive line up front looks like. So, again, all of that is going to happen and determines what happens in stadium.
Charlie Batch, you know the voice. He's joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. He'll be on the call tonight with Bob Pompeiani on Channel 2, bringing you Steelers preseason action. Charlie, do you think they'd ask Justin Fields, hey, stay in the pocket? We know you can run. We've seen that you can run. Do you think that they task him with that tonight? Just stay in the pocket, see if you can operate the offense that way.
I don't necessarily think you had that conversation with him, right? This is not like he's a rookie. He has 3-year body of work. Yeah, there's some challenges, but it's not the same offense that he ran in Chicago and what he was asked to do at a younger age. Now, when you're a 4-year guy, you're expected to now take on that leadership role, but now play, you know, now more naturally with it. So I don't think they take that ability away from Justin Fields. This guy does have over 2,200 yards rushing in his young career. So I think that's something that you want to see, but at the same time, you don't want to run the risk of your quarterback running in the preseason and getting hurt. So I think those are conversations that I don't think is going to really go overboard. They just want him to go out and react, trust what he sees, and let's see if he can make the throws. And if the throws aren't there, hey, go ahead and take off and get what you can with your legs.
Charlie, is there anybody else that is going to be playing tonight that you're interested and excited to see get an opportunity in a live game setting?
I think for me, you know, if you're watching those guys, I really want to see Willis, and the linebacker from NC State. I really want to see him. And I think when you look at what's going on there, you know, Patrick Queen's not playing second team all pro. We know what he can do. But when you talk about, you know, the speed that he brings to that defense, can he now take it from what he did in Latrobe and actually go in stadium to do that? And I think all indications are saying that he will do that. And if that's the case, he'll play a big factor in what the nickel and dime packages look like as they head into the regular season. So I think this is going to be a big display for him on that defensive side of the ball, because they just want to see him react without overthinking and having to really call the defense. Let's see what you see, and let's see if you can just go out there and react, because most of the time in his first preseason game is very vanilla. They just want to see guys line up and play.
Charlie, we can't have you on and not ask you about Brandon Ayuk, because we're just contractually obligated to talk about Brandon Ayuk. So, in your opinion, do the Steelers need a guy of that ilk? Do they need Brandon Ayuk, and what would he bring to the table if they got him?
Well, if they bring to the table, I think that lets me know that, you know, Coach Tomlin and this organization is going all in to say, hey, we have an opportunity and we feel that we can win the Super Bowl this year. So if you bring that type of talent in, yes, it solidifies what that receiver room looks like. Do you need him immediately right now? No. But by having these conversations and the way it's coming up, it just lets me know they may not necessarily be comfortable with the depth that they have currently in the receiver room. So there's a lot at stake for a lot of guys. If for whatever reason this trade doesn't happen prior to the game, these guys have to play well in this preseason game. If not, you better believe the conversations are going to continue to be louder and louder and louder until this deal finally happens potentially.
Charlie, awesome stuff, man. We really appreciate you coming on. Have a great call tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie Batch, former Steelers quarterback. A lot of good stuff there.
Yeah.
And someone texted and asked Charlie where he's bartending tonight. See? Hey, careful there, Pump. Mm-hmm. Also, I love Charlie, and he called the Chicago Bears the Chicago Beers.
The Beers.
The Beers.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Very endearing from Charlie. I mean, he's right about Ayuk. Like, it just tells you what they feel that they have right now. And the whole all-in thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we've harped on this going all the way back. The word that Art Rooney II used in his press conference at the end of the year, or any time he talked to the media, was urgency. And you get Patrick Queen, you turn over your entire quarterback room, and now you're flirting with paying somewhere between $25 and $30 million to a wide receiver. He's not cool with them not winning playoff games.
Right.
And this guy helps you win a playoff game. No doubt about it. Speaking of winning games, I forgot about this. I did not know this. Steelers, this is a Brian Batko tweet. They're +2.5 tonight against the Texans. And he wrote, it's kind of wild to me because the Steelers haven't lost a preseason game since 2021. I feel like people forget they have the longest preseason winning streak, 6 straight in the NFL.
Wow.
The Ravens had won like 20 straight preseason games.
Yes.
They lost last season, though.
They lost the last one, right?
Yeah. That's so weird. It's just so weird. Like, are you coaching to win?
No, I think that they have better free agents.
Yeah, I guess so. You just got better depth and
a
deeper roster.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy to win 20 straight of those things.
That is a lot.
That is a ton. And the Steelers try to keep their streak going since 2021 as a 2.5-point dog at the ACC. You can't let the Houston Texans come up here and beat you at the ACC, Dor.
Nope.
All right. Final thoughts on tonight's game. When we come back, we've also got social media's Biggest Loser, which is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Social media's Biggest Loser is Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, who yesterday after practice said about contract talks with CeeDee Lamb, quote, I don't have any urgency to get it done, end quote. So that was tweeted out by a Cowboys reporter and then quote tweeted by CeeDee Lamb, who just said, LOL. So things going great in Dallas where they don't have him locked up, they don't have the quarterback locked up, and Micah Parsons. So,
yep.
Great job, Jerry Jones.
Jerry's world.
Yeah, you got your finger right there on the pulse, big guy,
mm-hmm.
running the show. All right, the 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, about 9 hours away from the Steelers kicking off their preseason. Who's the player we're going to be talking about on Monday?
We are going to be talking about Connor Hayward.
Connor Hayward.
Yep.
Can I say something a little bit maybe mean about Connor Hayward?
Yeah.
If we're talking about Connor Hayward, everyone else sucks.
No, that's not necessarily true. It's a preseason game, and the starters are only going to play maybe one quarter, and everybody else said there's three quarters in a game left in a game after the first quarter.
It is very close.
There's three quarters left in a game after the first quarter.
And you think he'll be a guy who will show his stuff out there.
Yep.
I like that because we did talk about Darnell Washington earlier. The tight end's going to be featured in this offense. Freiermuth not going to play a lot. It is a good pick. I'm going to say we're talking about Beanie Bishop.
Of course.
Tank Dell, John Mechie, Stephon Diggs. There's another one in there. They got a bunch of
Nico
great.
Nico Collins.
Thank you. Nico Collins. This is a test for the entire Steelers secondary. Depending on how much they're trying to push the envelope. I think we're talking about him. Obviously, we'll be talking about Justin Fields. Off-the-wall prediction for tonight?
Kickoff return.
Tutty?
Yep.
See, my prediction was going to have to do, and still does have to do, with the kickoff as well. I think we're going to see like four or five penalties combined. And it's going to be a slog. And in the third quarter, Bob Pompeiani is going to be really annoyed about it. So there you have it.
The Steelers win.
Yeah.
Continue their streak.
I would be bold-faced lying to you right now if I didn't say I'm gonna bet on the game, because I totally am.
Same here. Same here.
Little Steelers with the spread or on the money line? What are we doing? Maybe parlay them and then like Mitch Keller to go like seven innings or something.
I like
that
a lot.
How about that? Let's go.
Or the Pirates will win.
Not again.
Oh. It's the Dodgers.
It's the damn Dodgers. All right, we'll be talking a lot about what the Pirates do out west when we come back on Monday, and then breaking down chapter and verse Steelers v. Texans. Looking forward to it. Starkey and Zeiss up next, live from Studio B. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 84.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.